mercy and grace, thou art welcome in this place.
Let's bow our heads together in the spirit of worship. Heavenly Father, we're so grateful tonight to know that you're still alive. That you didn't just die and lay in the grave, but Lord, you stood again 3 days later. And you're here tonight to prove that you're still alive tonight. Lord, we thank you for coming by our way. Lord, you're welcome here in this place. We don't have any creeds, no denominations, none of our own thoughts to stand in your way. But Lord, may you come and speak to us the pure word of God. Forgive us, Lord, of all of our sins. Wash us clean through that precious blood. Don't let us ever get away from that blood, Heavenly Father. We just pray, Lord, that the words you'd have to say, Lord, let my mind just leave and let your mind enter in. Let the people's mind enter into the mind of Christ. That, Lord, we might know the things we ought to do, the things we could serve you better at, Lord. That's why we came tonight. We're not afraid of your word, Lord. If it's cutting, let it be cutting. If it's rejoicing, Lord, let it rejoice. Lord, and let us just yield ourselves to the Spirit of God tonight. We love you, Lord. We appreciate you, Lord Jesus. We just want to show you how much we love you with all that we can. Speak to us, we pray tonight. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. If you open your Bibles with me tonight, Hebrews chapter 6, starting at verse 9. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 9. As you're turning there, sometimes I lose track of time, but Brother Nathan Erickson will be preaching 2 Wednesdays from now. I always had it as next month, and then I realized, well, it's the first week in the month. That's coming up pretty quick. So he'll be here in 2 weeks, this coming Wednesday. I believe that's the 4th. So I wrote it on the calendar, just in case you forget later on. Pray for him. Lord, I believe we'll have a great time in the Lord that Wednesday night. How many expect a great time in the Lord tonight?
Amen. Yes, sir.
Sufficient to the day is the evil thereof, right? Yes, sir. I'll worry about 2 weeks from now, you know, in prayer and things, but I got to overcome the day first. Verse 9, Hebrews chapter 6. But beloved, we are persuaded better things of you and things that accompany salvation, though we thus speak. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which you have shown toward his name, and that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. You find that strange that he says you have shown this love unto his name, yet you are only doing it to the church of the living God. Yet you're still doing it to the name of Christ. Oh, I love the word of God tonight. Verse 11. And we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end, that you be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. For when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swear by himself, saying, surely blessing I will bless thee, and multiplying I will multiply thee. And so, after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. For men verily swear by the greater, and an oath for confirmation is to them an end of all strife. Wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by 2 immutable things, in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation, who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. Which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, which entereth into that within the veil. Whether the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus, made a high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Tonight I want to take for us a subject. The only covenant with power is unconditional. The only covenant with power is unconditional. Let's pray again. Heavenly Father, we pray that you'd bless the reading of your word, the hearing of your word. May you take full preeminence in this service, we pray. In Jesus Christ's name we ask. Amen. You may be seated. It's going to be hard to follow up after this weekend. I believe we had a good time in the Lord. Friday, I tell you what, I love communion service because it's a real good time of checking up. And that's what we need to do on a day-to-day basis anyhow. Because that's what hinders the moving of God, is when we allow things to come into our lives and we don't do anything about it, knowing that God has given us the power to overcome sin and we allow it to happen anyways. That's what stops God from moving. It is not because we are ignorant of things. It's the things that we know we ought to be doing and we're not doing them. That's what hinders the moving of God. But I'm glad when we come out to communion, that's a good time for the whole church to just check up, get all scrubbed out by the word, and we can leave with a heart full of just the love of God, and all condemnation leaves. That's what I love about communion. And we know, as I preached it one time, but that's the whole reason God even instituted communion, that we could stay in better communion with Him. Because we know that communion really means fellowship. It means to talk to one another. And that's why God established that ordinance, so that we wouldn't have sin in our lives to keep us from being able to fellowship with Him. Aren't you glad that God cares about talking to you? That's His whole goal in life, is that you will know that He loves you and that He takes care of you, and that His whole desire was to express Himself to you. That's the reason He even exists, is that you might exist in Him.
Amen.
Hope you understood that tonight. But as we take this topic, as we know, we went through this book of Hebrews. How many are enjoying this book so far?
Yeah.
I was so encouraged to go back and look and to find out that when Brother Brandon was preaching, his Brother Neville was filling in the gaps. And he was preaching as well, and they were staying on the same line. I love it when brothers dwell in unity.
Amen.
You don't hear no time, Brother Branham said, you know, I had to really push Brother Neville to let me have the pulpit tonight, or vice versa. No, they were in unity. Why? They were both following the same spirit.
Amen.
And I love how Brother Neville was able to recognize, yes, I am the pastor of this church, but I ain't the messenger of the hour. There's a man that God has sent to be the messenger of the hour, and we must get the word out. And he allowed him, go ahead, brother, you go ahead and take it. I think it's the same with Peter and Paul. When Peter was getting there corrected, he said, you know what? This is the messenger of the hour standing in front of me. I know I've been with Jesus personally, but I'm here to respect the word of God that is brought in this day. And I wish there's more ministers in this message that would recognize it's time to respect God's authority, what God has brought. It's not time to tamper with it. It's not time to second guess it and say, well, maybe it was all right here, but I don't know about this over here. No, it's time for a church that accepts the word 100%.
Amen.
And not only accepts it by intellectualism, but accepts it by faith, and it manifests itself again.
Amen.
The same God of William Branham is here tonight.
Amen.
I'm not here to preach a God of history. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. If you need healing, He is here tonight to give it to you.
Yes.
But what's the problem with most Christians is we want to covet it, but He's on condition. That we have to do something, that we have to merit something, and that God is getting us on a little scale, grade scale, and as long as we score high enough, we'll get our healings today.
Sure.
That is not the way we serve God. You don't serve God as a taskmaster. You serve God in love.
Yes.
In love that He's already provided all of your needs. He never asked you about it. He went and paid for it Himself.
Right.
He didn't leave it in our hands, our own salvation. He took it upon Himself, right. Our
Amen.
Salvation.
Amen.
The only requirement He ever asked was, will you agree to it? I've paid all the cost. I did all the documentation for you. I got it all surveyed out. Can you just sign the paper? Because let me emphasize this real quick here. He didn't say just unconditional promise. It's an unconditional covenant.
Amen.
And in that covenant are promises that will come to pass if you agree to the covenant. Because the covenant is between two that need to shake hands and say, we agree that this is settled.
Amen.
And that's what happened at Calvary. God and man became one.
Yes.
And the case was settled.
Amen.
I will pay the sin question, said both God and man. You can sit here and let your mind blow up, but that guy on the cross was both God and man.
Amen.
Paying for the sins of the world, because He didn't desire to lose His creation.
Amen.
He was wanting to bring it back.
Yes.
And He did it. He did it. Look, my raptured soul shall find.
Yes.
My soul is raptured right now. And one of these days it'll find rest in a body that's not like this thing, but one made unto His glorious body.
Oh,
a body that's not tempted with sin, that doesn't worry about sickness and being tired and all those kind of things, ain't limited to time and space. It does what it wants to, which is always the Word of God.
Amen.
I'm glad to be preaching to a group of believers tonight. People that are here to accept the Word of God and to watch God fulfill His Word in their life.
Amen.
Because I'll agree with Paul here in verse 9. I am persuaded better things of you. Paul brings a lot of negative a lot of times. Even Brother Branham and a lot of ministers, and a lot of times people will allow Satan to take that and apply it to someone who's born again, and the minister never said that, the Bible never said that, the messenger of the hour never said that. It's the Word of God being preached to everyone.
Amen.
And if you're not in the ark, you're out of the ark.
Right.
If you're not sealed in, as we preach, you are sealed out.
Right. Amen.
The goal of the message is not scare everyone and say, oh, it's the called out of the called out of the called out, and just luckily you might be one. The message was given to anyone who would receive it. And if there's something in you that the second it heard the word come forth, something on the inside sprung up. You're the called out.
Amen.
Don't add nothing to it. Don't take anything from it. If you're a son of God, you were always a son of God. Amen. And now you are here to manifest a son of God, which means you will walk like Christ. Amen. And it's your inheritance to be like that. How many wants to be able to heal the sick? Amen. I'm glad I got a group of people that are caring about other people's sicknesses. Guess what? Jesus did too.
Yes, he did. Yes, he
did. What was the main identity of who Jesus Christ was? The fact that he never lived for himself. He was always pushing it out to others.
Amen.
That's when you find God's character. Because the root of all of it is a little four-letter word called love.
Amen.
And these people, I feel so bad for them in the world, think they love each other. You can't love without God. He's the definition of it.
Right, amen.
Like saying you're going to go skiing and you ain't got any skis. It's part of the definition. If you don't got skis, you're not skiing. You might be falling, but you ain't skiing. And there's a lot of churches that way. Oh, we're going through the motions. We're having services, but things just don't happen. It's not a dry time for the bride of Christ. It's a dry time for this world because they forsook the message. I did not forsake the message. I accepted it.
Yes, sir.
And I'm here as a witness that the message lives.
Yes,
because the message isn't a book. It is Christ.
Amen.
And Christ is still alive tonight.
Amen.
How do you know that? He lives within me.
Yes.
When I'm ready to quit, somebody inside stands up and says, keep fighting.
Amen.
When I sit there and go, I just backslid too much this time. Some says, get up, soldier.
Yes.
Come back to the blood. It's already settled.
Yep.
That's the only problem. We just wander a little too far away from Calvary sometimes to where we can only just barely peek it out of the corner of our eye and realize that, oh, God does love me. But if you just get real close to Calvary one time and see that blood dripping all over and Him saying, I'm doing this not just for the sins of the world, I'm doing this with the intention just for you.
Amen.
You'll have a confidence sure and steadfast. Not bushed around with every little wave of doctrine. Let them come. I tell you what, if you find somebody that's really got the Holy Ghost, you let them, I don't care, you go check up every website you want about the message. It won't move you.
Right.
Because you met Him.
Amen.
You didn't met it. You met Him.
Amen.
I know my dad pretty well. There was somebody on the internet trying to talk like him. It wouldn't do me much. I'd be able to pick it out. This ain't my dad talking. He wouldn't have said this. He wouldn't have said that. Woo, that was good. What? My Heavenly Father talks this way. My Heavenly Father ain't here to tear down this and tear down that and ain't here to puff up some man and think that he's God Almighty walking around. Now there's a body walking around in flesh that's God Almighty, but you ain't here to be the Savior of the world. That man already done came and gone.
Amen. Amen.
That part was settled. And the salvation of your soul is not resting upon a man. It's resting upon the man.
Yes.
Who was willing to say, I did it. It is finished.
Amen.
I left nothing undone. I turned around every stone I needed to. The debt was paid in full.
Amen.
Verse 9. But beloved, we are persuaded better things of you. And I will say that again tonight. I believe I'm in a group of people that I can say, I am persuaded better things of you. I'm persuaded of people that are willing to sacrifice to come to a little house of God and hear the word of God and then watch the word live in you. And people can come against that. People can say whatever they want to and you hold fast to that word. I got things better persuaded of you than I do of somebody else who's all puffed up in the chest and ain't nothing ever happened in their lives. That's the proof in the pudding. Do you understand that? To prove that God is alive is not just to prove it by intellectualism, by proving it by the Bible, just by textbook. It's by proving that by manifestation you can show that Jesus Christ does the same things right now He always did.
Yes, He does. Amen.
And if you can't demonstrate that in your life, there is something wrong in your experience.
Amen.
Verse 9. But beloved, we are persuaded better things of you and things that accompany salvation. Oh my, don't you like that? Not things that are salvation. He already done covered that. He done showed you what salvation was. But here's some things that accompany salvation. There's love. There's joy. There's peace. There's long suffering. There's 9 spiritual gifts in every local assembly. People want to preach that. Well, there's 9 spiritual gifts, but you know, they're all in Africa. why are they so much spiritual than us? I thought the same Holy Ghost over there in Africa is supposed to be standing right here. Now, if that one can speak in tongues, I think this one can here, because it's the same God. I don't believe in two or three different kind of Holy Ghosts. There's one, and He's the same person, and He lives in every individual heart, and that life within you will produce those gifts.
Amen.
As God wills to each one.
Amen.
But don't you sit back and say, well, I'm just the non-gifted Christian. There ain't no such thing in the Bible. Every Christian's got power against the enemy. The problem, again, is if you try to operate that power in a conditional covenant, it will do nothing.
Amen.
Just as far as you can get yourself to believe that you're in right standing with God, you might have to even trample over your own doctrine to be able to do that, and that's about all you're going to get. But if one time you can stand up and say, Christ really settled my salvation, He said, these signs follow them that believe, and I will walk in faith and do what He said, it will happen every time.
Amen.
I heard a minister say one time, he says, you know, we lay hands on the sick and they get well. He said, but not every time, because, you know, God wants to make sure that, you know, you're humble. Make sure you know you ain't got nothing to do about it. Martha, I'm glad that God cared about somebody else's sickness more than my character. Are you serious? I think God cares about that person getting whole. I think if He wanted me to get character, He let me be sick, not someone else.
Right.
See, that's those false teachers that want to lift up what the Bible calls damnable heresies. Things that don't even make sense in the Bible. Show me one time Jesus turned down someone.
Amen. Right.
From divine healing.
That's right.
They turn themselves away.
Right.
They're the ones that stand and watch Jesus raise a man 4 days dead from the grave and say, how can we kill him?
Uh-huh.
He just rose him from the dead.
Yeah.
What are you going to do?
Yeah.
Kill him again?
Yeah.
You read in the Bible, they wanted to kill Lazarus.
Uh-huh.
Why? Men of reprobate minds concerning the truth. It's not going to make sense. Don't try to talk to a serpent seed that sits there and makes fun of these things that we believe and hold true. Can you convince the message to an animal? What's the difference?
Amen.
If they want to bicker and fight, you just walk away.
Yeah.
You're throwing your pearls before swine. And trust me, if you'll be humble and walk in the Spirit of God, there's somebody out there that wants it.
Yeah.
Sure, amen.
Don't waste your time fooling around with these people that don't want nothing to do with it anyhow. Let them go. The blind lead the blind. They'll all fall into the ditch. But if you've got sight, hallelujah. If you've got sight, I don't care how blind they or how much they think they can see. You can see. And you can say, I don't care. You got this theology all figured out just right. I know you're heading off a cliff because I see the cliff.
Amen.
I'm going to stand here
Amen.
In the Word.
Right.
Persuaded better things of you all.
Amen.
People that want to stay with the Word of God.
Sure.
Because it's not staying with the code of ethics. It is staying with Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen.
Verse 10. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which you have shown toward His name, and that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. What is he establishing there? What Brother Branham said many times. I have another quote here. I'll just read it real quick. Now, the first thing is coming out of that day on Calvary 60. Now, the first thing I want to say is Jesus never lived for himself. His life was spent for others. That's perfectly eternal life. When you say you go to church and you do good things, that's fine. But when you live your life to yourself, you have an eternal life. Eternal life is living for others. It proved it when he came in the Lamb of God. He lived and had eternal life because he did not live for himself. He lived for others. And you receive eternal life by receiving that day and don't live no more yourself. You live for others.
Amen.
And here's Paul saying the same thing. Here's how I know, because the love of God is in you, because you are shedding it to the brethren and living for them more than yourself. As you minister to their needs, you are literally ministering to Christ. Do you remember that in the judgment?
Amen.
He said, Lord Jesus, when do we do these things to you? He said, you visited me when I was in prison. You fed me when I was hungry. You gave me drink when I was thirsty. He said, when did you do this? He said, when you did it to the least of these, my brother. Well, that little person in the back corner that nobody ever saw, and you went and gave him $5, you might as well go ahead and picture that's Jesus Christ you just gave
sure.
that to. It's time to uphold each other. And let's push the national side away for a little bit. Let's go ahead and raise up and say that time when that unction comes to you, pray for brother so-and-so. Lord, that's the one that made fun of me a few weeks ago. That's when you find out, do I have the goods or not?
Why?
Jesus looked at the rich young ruler, knew exactly what he was going to do. The Bible says he looked on him and loved him. People want to base their salvation on that. It didn't mean anything. God's promise that he loved the sins of, but it was a covenant that the original ruler had to accept.
Yeah.
And when he said, I don't want it, he was done. When you see Jesus sitting there fooling around with him anymore, hope you understand. Let's put the whole message together now. If you give life out and it's rejected, you can't do anymore. You're beating your head against the wall. Let it go.
Amen.
There's salvation for that person. It's not the right time just yet. Can that happen? It happened to Paul one time. Paul had heard about this Jesus Christ and whatever, and he hated it all the way to death and to prison. But there came a day when it was his time to find it. And God worked it all out on both sides. He didn't even rely on Ananias, did he?
Right.
He had to kind of twist Ananias' arm and say, get down there and pray for my servant.
Right.
You remember that?
Yeah.
He said, Lord, I heard many things about this man.
Sure, yeah.
You know, I think Ananias valued his life a little bit. I don't want to go down there and get my head cut off, Lord. He said, no, he's a chosen vessel. Aren't you glad the covenant was unconditional? He already had the ring of predestination on him, and he didn't know it. Why? He was still walking around blind, and God allowed him to be physically blind too, so we would see what a man acts like. That's a seed of God when he's blind.
Amen.
He doesn't know what he's doing. He's not acting in his right mind.
Right.
But the second Paul caught the word of God,
yes,
and he was baptized and received, yes, the baptism of the Holy Ghost, he took that old theology he had, and he had no problems going and dumping it in that trash can,
yeah,
and said, I'm going to stay out there with God until I know where I stand.
Amen. Amen.
You come out to find out your experience has got some faulty bricks somewhere in your foundation, it's all right. Let's get the victory now. Let's go ahead and chuck that into the trash can and let's get sure in Christ. It ain't a time to be double guessing our salvation. It's a time to know where we stand with God.
Amen.
This is the evening time, church. It's the sealing time. It's not time to be thinking, well, am I really in the ark or am I not? I feel like I might be, that it can't be like that. You must have an insurance.
Amen.
And that assurance is freely given to those that will receive it.
Sure.
Amen. Verse 11. And we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end, that ye be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. And those are, and Paul, and I believe that those are the foundations to be able to hold on. First, you've got to have a faith, and not just something you made up in your mind. Faith is a substance. And if you can't recognize that I have something that tells me this is true, regardless of circumstance, you need to find it.
Amen.
Because real faith don't budge. It's the same. What faith says in the beginning is what it'll say in the middle of a trial. It's what it'll say all the way to the end of the trial. People want to look at Abraham and say he backslid, he did this, he did that. Yes, he did. But down in his heart, the Bible says he knew it.
Yeah.
I will have this son. God promised it.
Amen.
And I accepted it by faith. He's our father. Aren't you glad for Father Abraham? A man that waited 25 years for just one promise of God. We can't hardly wait 25 minutes sometimes. Well, I guess I just ain't getting my joy today. I just ain't getting healing today. I just have to walk out of here with this doubt. You ain't got to leave church with one need anytime.
Amen.
You don't got to have one day with any need, because he already paid that you would give your needs to him.
Yes. Amen.
He'll take care of it all. Don't worry about the bills. Don't worry about the job. Don't worry about tomorrow. Worry about souls. Yes.
Amen.
And what you can do for the kingdom of God.
Amen. Amen.
The same diligence unto the full assurance. What is diligence? It's just putting your whole heart into it. God responds to true sincerity, obeying his word.
Amen.
You can be sincere as you want to outside of the word. That doesn't mean a whole lot. But when you're in the word and you're putting your whole heart into it, God is obligated,
right,
to let you know the truth.
Amen.
That if there's sin in your life, he'll come by and tell you. How many can testify to that? When you get sincere with God, he comes by and says, this,
yes,
is what you're doing. Stop it.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Same way with me, church. I go through the same things. Like I said, for those things I do, I'm ashamed to even say it to people. Because I'm afraid that sometimes people look at man too much. They think, well, yeah, I have faults and I have failures. Yes, I do. I am not trusting in my flesh. I am not holier than thou. I deal with the same temptations every man in here does. I know we have our own trials, but we're all in the same warfare. There isn't two or three flanks in this war. You're either on the front lines or you ain't on the battlefield.
Right. Amen.
You sitting there trying to hide behind somebody else's experience? You aren't fighting the battle. You're wasting your time.
Amen.
Get up on the front lines and fight for this gospel.
Amen.
which means if somebody has a need, it ain't time to call up brother so-and-so that you think spiritual to come take care of it. You take care of it by the help of the Spirit of God that's supposed to be dwelling within you.
Amen.
Because the conqueror is not the pastor. The conqueror is not brother so-and-so, like I said, that you think is super spiritual. The conqueror is Christ, and you are packing Christ. The bride of Christ is packing Christ everywhere she goes.
Amen.
Yes.
Verse 12, that you be not slothful. Oh my, we could preach a whole sermon in America on that word, couldn't
sure.
we?
Amen.
Some people just too lazy to even ask God for things. Oh, I could, but you know, I need a nap. Can't pray today. Hey, I just started school again, all right? I got up to pray this morning. I made it. Like I said, I go through the same things you all do. There's times I wake up, try to pray, fall asleep. And there's a saying that happens to me sometimes where I'm awake in my mind, but my body, I can't get it up.
Yeah.
I absolutely hate that feeling.
Yeah.
I can't stand it. I'm going, God have mercy, wake me up, wake me up, wake me up. And I'm sitting there trying to get in the Spirit of God.
Yeah.
And here's the devil making me tired. Don't be slothful though. Don't worry about what the flesh is saying. You just dismiss that. You say, I'm too tired to pray. Get up anyhow, soldier. Can I call you soldier this morning?
Yeah.
It ain't here to rosy cheek parades and all these things. We are here on the firing lines against Satan's army. And he has fortified himself with more than he's ever had before. But I tell you what, one little ounce of God will destroy Satan's kingdom all by itself. You say, well, I only got this much. Go ahead and use it one time.
Yeah.
Go ahead and use that little bit of prayer. You're like, well, God paid for my bill. How about he'll pay for something else?
Yeah.
Go ahead and use it. Watch it keep working. Why? Because faith, even though it's a little mustard seed, nothing can stop it.
Amen.
But what goes along with that is sometimes you have that mustard seed and you plant it, but you don't apply. The next thing he says, patience. You want to go dig it up every day. Is it growing? Is it growing? Lord, I need to see. Am I really getting well? Do I feel better? Does the mark look the same it did yesterday? What are you doing? Digging it right back up. What are you going to have to do? Go plant it again. Do it again the next day. Guess what? Well, got planted again. You've got to commit the promise of God to the ground of His Word in your heart.
Amen.
Right?
And leave it there. And don't accept anything contrary, ever.
Right.
Don't let the devil come around and say, oh, you're just being proud. No, you're not. You're holding on to the promise of God. God gave it to you.
Amen.
You're not stealing. He gave you these promises. And as the covenant has been agreed upon, how many agree with Christ and said, I do, Lord. I will marry you. I will go with you. I will follow whatever you say.
Amen.
He said, I'm the Lord that healeth thee. You say,
Amen.
And walk on. Faith and patience. Now let's look at this promise here for a minute. Let's go to verse 13. I'll come back to that here in a minute. For when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself, saying, surely, blessing, I will bless thee. And multiplying, I will multiply thee. And so, after he had patiently endured, same promise again. The promise came by the covenant that they had made. And God said, I will give this to you. I've already swore it. It's already settled. Just accept it. He came to Adam and tried to give him a covenant. He said, look, don't partake of this tree. Stay with this one. Don't partake of the devil. You stay over here with me. Stay with Christ. And when man has a covenant in his own strength, he will fail every time.
Yeah.
You've been making covenant with God here and there? God, I'll never do this. You'll do it next week.
Yeah.
He doesn't want us to do that. What the Bible says, don't even swear by it. Don't swear by heaven. That's his footstool. Don't swear or by earth, by heaven. Don't swear by anything. You don't know what's going to... Just let your yeas be yeas and your nays, nays. What's the yea? The word said this. Yes and amen. The word doesn't say this. That's no. Anything more than this is evil.
Uh-huh.
You ever watch that in your life? When you start putting little circumstances on things. Well, I would get well, but because, you know, I slept in when I prayed today, I'm not going to get it today. I'll have to wait till tomorrow. Where did you get that in the Bible?
Right, right.
I would get the Holy Ghost today, but you know, we're under a different dispensation, and I need to make sure I go through justification just right and get it all figured out, and then I got to go through sanctification and get my 50 quotes to explain that the way I had it, right. And then I'll finally get the Holy Ghost. Look, the Bible said one requirement: repent, be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
Any more than that, become an evil.
Uh-huh.
That's the saith the scriptures, church. I ain't going to add. I ain't going to take away. If you fulfilled that scripture, God is obligated to give it to you. Not 10 years from now, not 5 years from now. That moment.
Amen.
You can receive it.
Yes, sir.
Oh, he's glad you did.
Amen.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
Yes, amen.
I'm so happy that I met this requirement. Not by power, not by might, but by his spirit.
Yes, amen.
I said amen. And God said, here you go, buddy. Here's the promise.
Amen.
You agree to the covenant, he gives you the promise. Abraham agreed and said, anything contrary to this is not so. I don't care how old I am. I'm getting up being 100 years old. I'm still going to have the baby.
Yeah, amen.
And he obtained the promise because he faithfully endured.
Yes.
That ain't come with his faults and failures. That ain't come with his backslidings and him making this mistake and this mistake that never made the covenant none effect. What would have made the covenant none effect is him to stop believing it.
Amen.
That was it. Because as far as righteousness goes, Abraham would have been done a long time ago if God was counting on his righteousness for this promise to come to pass. He got talked out of it pretty easy, didn't he? His wife came up to him and said, well, we're waiting too long. It's been 11 years or so. That's a pretty long time to wait for a promise. You know, she endured longer than most of us probably could. And Abraham said, all right, we'll do it. We'll get Hagar. We'll try to make the promise ourselves. And look what it created.
Yeah.
A wild man. Yeah. A man that's still here now in the form of his children that are causing all kinds of havoc.
Sure.
That's what he was prophesied to be. And God has blessed him because God said he would. He's multiplied him. That's why you're never going to stamp him out. God's already done blessed him. He said, you'll have seed. You'll scatter the earth. But look what happens when a man takes the promise of God into his own hands. Oh, you might get something, but it'll always be cankered.
Oh, yeah. Amen.
So I got this sin in my life, but I prayed for the gift of prophecy and God gave it to you. Yeah. We know you don't get it just by that, but he might let you do it a few times. It might hit here and there, but there'll be something wrong in it somewhere. Why? Because just like Cain, just like Balaam, even though they had their religion, even though they had their emotions, there was always something wrong with it. But my, you find a true saint of God, under the Spirit of God, there ain't no faults to find.
Amen.
It's sure and steadfast. It will last for time and eternity, what
sure.
Those people have to say. Surely blessing, verse 14, I will bless thee, and multiply, I will multiply thee. So after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. For men verily swear by the greater, and an oath for confirmation is to them an end of all strife. What does that mean? Is for us to stop bickering, we come to an agreement and say, we will swear by the President of the United States that we will both fulfill our end and we both walk away in peace saying, yes, we will, because if we don't, we're going to die. So why would the other man be so foolish to not do it? But we agree and we will do it. And when God wanted to make a covenant, he wanted to swear by the greater, didn't he? And he looked around and said, there ain't nobody here to swear by greater than I am, so I will just swear by myself and I will come down in the form of flesh underneath myself to die for the sins of the world that I will make this promise come to pass.
Amen.
Verse 17. Wherein God, willing more abundantly. Can you really apply that to God now? He is not only willingly, but more abundantly willing. Which means God's desire to express this to you is more than you could ever comprehend.
Yeah. Amen, amen.
Every minute you get talked out of the promise of God, do you know how much God is just trying to emphasize again? You are not that.
Amen.
You are servant seed. You'd be walking out there in the things of the world. You wouldn't get repentive when you do things wrong. You just go with it. Don't go that way. You are the cream of the crop.
Sure.
And here's the devil sitting there pushing you around like you're just a little blow-up boy. It's not the truth. You're a son or daughter of God. You've been baptized with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. You are sealed for time and eternity.
Sure.
You are in the kingdom of God. Yes. You cannot get out and the devil cannot get in.
Amen.
Willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath. So God not only just said it, but he came around and says, I swear I will do this.
Yeah.
Anybody afraid that if God says he's going to do something, he can't do it? Isn't that what Abraham said? He was persuaded that what God had said, God was able to perform.
Amen.
Are you convinced tonight?
Amen.
He said, I will have a bride without spot or wrinkle? Are you afraid that that might fail?
Nope.
And how can you fail?
Right.
It's not you doing the conquering anyhow. Right. He's already done it.
Amen.
So letting that sink in. Verse 18. That by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation. Don't take this the wrong way. As we said, the devil will come and say, oh, you're just, yeah, he made this oath, but that was just Abraham and seeing ain't nothing to do with you. The reason Paul's preaching is, I want you to have a strong consolation. That is, you don't have to fear death no more. You don't have to fear sickness. You don't have to fear circumstance. You are in.
Amen.
You should have a strong consolation. And it goes for the promise of God. He says, unto you and to your children, as many as are far off.
Amen.
It's a strong consolation to you. I have given you this promise by an unconditional covenant.
Amen.
Did you say amen to the covenant?
Amen.
That all these promises are your personal possession.
Yes.
Amen.
Hallelujah, Jesus. For a strong consolation, who have fled for refuge. Don't you love that? You're not even here to stand on your own. You have fled for refuge. Said, I can't win the battle, but I'll stand right here in Christ. He'll take care of all of it. I have fled for refuge to fight. Do you understand? Let us labor to enter into that rest. Labor and rest? What? By faith you labor. To kick all the unbelief out. That's the real battle right there, church. Don't make it no more than that.
Amen.
The battle is faith versus unbelief.
Yeah.
Faith says amen to the Word. Every time, whether it cuts, whether it hurts, whether you have to say, I'm wrong, but the Word is right. That's what faith is doing.
Right.
Unbelief makes excuses. And that's your warfare. Y'all enjoying the Word right now.
Amen.
I think just one of these days, it's going to click like it ain't never before. You know what I mean? Aren't you glad that God never lets you just get stagnant in your experience?
Yes. Amen.
But just when you think, my, this is so glorious, how could there be any more? He puts another thing on the top.
Yeah.
Just when you get a good taste of that, oh my, it can't be no better. No, here it comes.
Yeah.
Here's the cherry on top, right? I didn't know that was part of it. And look, this is an eternal thing. Eternal things don't know what beginning means.
Right.
They don't know what end means.
Amen.
Time means nothing to something that's eternal. And I say, Lord, let me get up into that realm. Where all these things in time, all these things I fret about, all these things that, oh man, I got to do this, I got to do that, all that just fades away. And it's Christ has already done it for time and all eternity. I'm glad that when I get to heaven, I don't have to be afraid. Will Jesus change his mind a million years from now about me? Wouldn't that be something if God could change his mind? We'd be sitting there every day. You would still have fear.
Sure.
Maybe tomorrow he won't love me no more. How many times have we done that in this life? Oh, he loved me the last year because I was a pretty good boy. You ain't no pretty good boy. You're terrible. You're just done for in the beginning, ain't you? But if you just rest in Christ, he ain't looking at you. He ain't looking at the flesh. He ain't looking at the mistakes. He is looking at the atonement that he did himself. And I get tired of watching people get bored by that kind of preaching. The message is the blood.
Amen.
I just got rebuked here when I looked around here. I realized I don't have a cross in here. I said, God have mercy. We need to get a cross on because that's the message of the hour. It ain't time to reconcile people to theology. It ain't time to reconcile people to church. It's time to reconcile people through the blood.
Amen.
You can only become a son of God by manifestation when you walk through the blood of Christ. Because other than that, you're walking in your own strength and it will not merit anything.
Amen.
You must be washed. You must be sanctified. You must agree to this unconditional covenant and let God come down and change you from death unto life.
Amen.
And until then, none of these promises will be of any effect to you. But as you press through that, as you pass through the veil, you have to recognize this covenant was specifically written for you.
Amen.
If you'd have been the only heir, it still would have been written exactly the same. Why? Because he didn't save 2, 3, 4, 5. He saved one body.
Amen.
Wonderful.
That one body has many members, yes. But it's one body. Let me read what Brother Branham says about that. Hebrews chapter 6. This is the third time he preached it. It says, now full notice closely. Abraham and his seed were the promises. And I'll get to that here when we read in a minute. It says, one was the seed, singular, and the other was promises. There's more than one promise, more than one person that's included in the seed of Abraham. Now watch what he says here. There's one, capital S, there's one seed, but many people of this seed.
All right.
Glory to God.
Amen.
See, they were not just Abraham alone or Isaac alone, but it was to all the seed of Abraham.
Amen.
The promises was made to each and every individual seed of that seed.
That's good.
Do you get it?
Amen.
The one seed of Abraham was Jesus Christ.
Amen.
But that seed had many seeds. It was packed in within it. And when Christ was buried, rose again, put out fruit.
Yes.
There were seeds in that seed that went down and got buried into 12 or 120 disciples that day. And then that seed reproduced itself and it spread down. Aren't you glad you got a tie all the way back to Christ? Because you heard the word from brother that heard the word, that heard it from this brother, that heard it from this, that'll go all the way back to Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Try not to go ahead. Stay right here. Let's turn to that real quick. Galatians 3. Hallelujah, Jesus. So glad to be a part of Abraham's seed and to not think of what I used to think it was. Oh, I just agree to it and that's just some thing and it's just a nice terminology. No, no, the seed of Abraham is Jesus Christ.
Amen.
It's not just figurative. That's what it really is.
Exactly.
After the flesh was Isaac, and that was, as Brother Ram talks about it, being the steps up to the perfect seed. But the perfect seed in God's mind that he was talking about was Christ. And when he saw Christ come, he knew what Christ was packing, which was you and me.
Amen.
So when he made that promise, he wasn't just thinking of Abraham's children. He was literally thinking of the bride of Christ.
Yes.
That's the promise he was making.
Amen.
But without the message of the hour, how are you ever going to see that?
Right.
Mm-hmm. My. People make this message legalism. I just don't understand it. Galatians 3, verse 16. And to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith not into seeds as of many, but as of one, into thy seed, which is Christ. You think that'd be enough for most people, don't you? You just said it, which is Christ. When the Bible says is, I believe it. And the faith in me just says, amen.
Amen.
Don't need to add to it. Don't need to take away. Don't need to explain it away. Don't need to explain it farther from somebody else. It is what it is. Because God has said it and it's settled forever.
Yeah,
it can never change. Verse 17, and this I say, that the covenant that was confirmed before of God in Christ, the law, which was 430 years after, cannot disannul that it should make the promises of none effect. For if the inheritance be of the law, it is no more of promise, but God gave it to Abraham by promise. Now let me emphasize this here in a second. Read this next part. Wherefore then serveth the law? It was added because of transgressions till the seed should come. What is he saying here? When God came to give Abraham the promise, he just gave it to him. Unconditional covenant, here's a promise. Nothing to do with the law at all. Nothing with Abraham, you must do this. Abraham, you must do this. Thou shalt not lie. Thou shalt commit adultery. Never had that discussion with Abraham because Abraham was walking under grace,
yeah,
not under law.
Amen.
But when it came down to the children of Israel who should have accepted this grace and walked in it, they said, I want law. Why was the law added? Because of transgression, which is a form of sin. And what is sin? Unbelief. Because of the children of Israel's unbelief, the law was added unto the promise. Which, what did it do? It made the promise of none effect to them. Because the second you add a condition to God's unconditional covenant, you lose all benefits of it.
Amen.
And you're sealed out. So why was it added? Because of their unbelief was it added. But it could not, as he said, disannul what God had already said. God's first decision is forever. And when he said, I will save by grace, that was his intention the whole time.
Sure.
And why was it added? Because man decided, we want law. So he said, okay, you can have that, but it will not disannul my covenant. So he said, okay, even though I've added the law, I will come down and fulfill that to bring it back to grace again like I intended it to be.
Amen.
God never wanted to give law. He never expected man in a sinful body to be able to live it. He knew he couldn't. He knew he's a leaf that just fades away. But he knew inside man, inside his elect now. I'm preaching like it's to everyone, but it's really just to the elect because they're the only ones packing this life.
Right.
He could see that that life will endure.
Amen.
But it needed an atonement. It needed something to wash away because God cannot change his plan. If he said the day you sin, that day you die, he must hold to it. So what did he do? He took your seed. Put it in Christ. Let him die.
paid for your sins and then let you come and just accept it.
Amen.
Can you see the picture? The prophet says, and I've shared this a few times, he says, but when the fullness of the Godhead bodily was on the cross, in there, God made me pay for my sins. Don't you love that he made the decision for you before you even could think about doing it? We might have second-guessed it and say, maybe I don't need to be forgiven. Maybe, no, but there was something God already let you die in there. So that way when you came around, there was nothing you could do but accept the atonement that was already back there because you were already a part of that.
Amen.
You don't become sons of God in the sense that you weren't at one point. You just manifest what you were.
Yes. Amen.
And that's what the message really came to do. Do you understand that? That was the missing link to the real Christian experience. The denominations had it up till that point. Why can we even do this in the first place? Mm-hmm. How come we can get justified? How come we can be sanctified? How come we can receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost? And what is this God choosing thing? And then you begin to realize, oh, he chose me and gave me, he equipped me with the ability to want to be justified, to want to be sanctified, to want to receive his Spirit, because the life within you is already packing that life of the Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
I hope you're hearing me tonight. I hope you're hearing me. Verse 19, let me finish that scripture out. Wherefore then serveth the law? It was added because of transgressions till, so it was done. He led it to a certain day, but he said, when that seed comes, you're gone, law. I will take care of this and rip it right out of there and bring it right back to grace again. Till the seed should come to whom the promise was made. And it was ordained by angels in the hand of the mediator. Now the mediator is not a mediator of one, but God is one. And if we be a part of God, that means that the exact same life that is in Christ, that always was, always will be, you're just as eternal, just as powerful, just as compassionate, just as loving as you know and you really want to be. You have the ability to do that.
Amen.
And God, in this day, he was not going to let his word just sit down. He made it a way that that seed could come back to maturity again. That's why he sent Malachi for. It was not that we could go around and push the Trinitarians around and tell them how dumb they are for believing in three gods. It wasn't so we can go around and tell the Pentecostals, yeah, you're goofing off, but you're living a life of sin, and I'm better than you anyhow. You go ahead and go to hell. That ain't what the message came to do. The message came to show you, you are a part of God.
Amen. Amen.
The message wasn't sent to a group. It was sent to individuals that would compile into a group.
Yeah.
It'll always be the individual. This church, you're not saved because you're part of this church. You're not saved because you're not part of this church. You're not saved because you're part of any affiliation whatsoever. You are saved because you personally have met Calvary.
Yes. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
And you didn't just stand there and say, well, that's a good thought. You jumped in that blood and say, Lord, forgive me, a sinner.
Amen.
And you didn't just sit there and cry some alligator tears. You stayed there. You know what alligator tears are? Alligators don't really cry. They just look like they're crying. And that's what a lot of people that say they had conversions, they come up and they cried and boo-hooed and all this stuff, but nothing ever changed. You didn't really repent yet. You held on to sin somewhere.
Amen, amen, amen.
How do you know that, Brother Andrew? I did the same. It only takes one thing. God ain't interested in your mistakes and the faults and things you do. He's interested in your heart.
Yes.
And when you hold on to something that's sinful, you are proving that you love that more than him. So he can't seal you yet. Because if he would seal you, that thing's still in you now for time and eternity. Aren't you glad he purged out the sin out of your heart? So that way when you go over there, none of that's in there. All that stuff that you hate about yourself, that was sealed out of your experience. And that's why you can't just walk up to glory. He says, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, I will be changed into a condition where everything I want to be, I am.
Amen.
But now we stand with the down payment of that promise. That it's all to you. It's all to you. It's all yours. For time and eternity.
Amen.
Let's go back to Hebrews 6. I'll try to finish this out, Lord willing. Let's just go to verse 15, and I'll read the rest of the way here. And so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. For men verily swear by the greater, and an oath of confirmation is to them an end of all strife. Is all your strife gone because you have agreed to this covenant? That's the question you need to ask. Are you still fighting, stewing about it with you or the devil or God or whatever?
it needs to be settled. Yeah, Jacob wrestled with God for a while, but when the wrestling match was over, he got a name change, and it was settled. I'm a prince with God. He said, was that God? You go back and look at it. Jacob called him God.
Amen.
He wrestled with God. He said, I've seen God face to face, and I'm still alive. Aren't you glad you could see the Almighty come? Express himself to you and go, I have seen God face to face. How do you see God? He's alive within his people. To where if you look at our brother or sister, it's time to get past the flesh.
Yeah.
We look, the Bible says we know no man after the flesh.
Amen.
It's all the Spirit of God.
Right.
Forget it was the Bible says he that judges judges all things. He that spiritual judges all things, but is judged of no man. Because he's not judgmental, but he can detect. A spiritual man can detect every spirit, and he can judge the spirit. He knows how to handle that. I just heard a story. This is a little secondhand, but I'll share it real quick. Brother Alexander was sharing it with me. He said that he heard about Brother Branham was sitting in a meeting, and a brother got up and did discernment, and it missed. Brother Branham still in him and said, "My, that was a mighty fine sermon tonight, brother." Well, what some of us messages people wanted to do? Man, brother, you know, you might be of the devil. I need the attitude to have. Love one another.
Amen.
And watch love cover a multitude of sin.
Amen.
You don't think he would have told that brother, now look, we probably need to go aside here a little bit and figure out there's something wrong somewhere because the Word of God don't miss.
Right.
But if you love first, you watch somebody tender up to the Word of God, that's the time to bring correction. Not just bullying people around and acting like a big super spiritual monarch over everybody's inheritance. You have your inheritance of God, you worry about that.
Amen.
And you pray for brother so-and-so that he'll get his inheritance. Because you can't get it for him anyhow.
Right.
Yes, we bear one another's burdens, but you'll bear your own.
Yeah.
You got to cross the bear, and I don't care if somebody else is praying for you, you're still going to bear it anyhow.
Right.
So don't quit trying to throw it on somebody else. Keep your cross on there and bear forward. And pray for brother so-and-so and say, Lord, let him be able to bear his just as well as I'm trying to.
Amen. Amen.
Let us all press forward into the kingdom of God.
Amen.
Eternal life, living for others. Lost my spot. We'll go verse 16. For men barely swear by the greater, an oath of for confirmation is to them an end of all strife. Wherein God, more willing abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise, not the rewarders of promise, not those that earn the promise, heirs of promise.
Amen.
Those that were just sons and daughters who must inherit these promises. Unto the heirs of promise, the immutability of his counsel confirmed it by an oath that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul. I'm glad that Paul could say this. I have an anchor to my soul. I'm not coming unto death scared. I have an anchor to my soul. And he was willing to say, brother, I'm persuaded better things of you, that you have this same anchor in your soul as well. So don't be afraid. Press the battle. Don't worry about the devil. Which hope we have as an anchor for the soul. Both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil. Whether the forerunners for us entered, even Jesus, made a high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. And that'll happen to you tonight if you're not spiritually minded. He says he entered into that within the veil. What is the veil? The veil of God was his own flesh. That's why people missed him. If he would have came as an angelic host, they might have accepted it. But he came as a little 5'3" stoop-shouldered man. One that you couldn't even hear his preaching in the street. He was so just little and quiet.
Uh-huh.
He came that way. They didn't want that. They wanted Saul. They wanted a man 7 feet tall, got his shoulders up big, and I'm the Messiah. I've come to deliver you from Rome. Let me get a spear and just wipe them all out right now. That's what they wanted. It's the same in this day. They don't want to accept some little man that can't talk right, that fumbled his words and couldn't remember what he said about some story 30 years ago. Before he preached it again. You've been reading any of this stuff that's coming out? People nitpicking about that? My goodness, I want to go talk to them for a while and hear their stories and see what they change if I record all of them. I've caught myself even on tape. I'll just confess you now. I've caught back and rolled back at a story I said one time. I said, I didn't say that right. That detail wasn't what it was supposed to be this way. And I said, God have mercy. And I thought, you know what? I bet the prophet could have done the same thing. That doesn't mean I just, oh, you're gone. Would you have done that to Moses then when he smote the rope twice and said, hey, buddy, you made a mistake. You can't be the prophet of God.
Look what happened to those that tried to do that. They're swallowed them up. I don't know why I go on those kind of things, but why do people miss God? Because they're looking for God in a way He never promised to come. He promised to come in flesh. And when He came the first time, it was in His Son, Jesus Christ. And He came, and that's why they couldn't see Him, because the veil was over their eyes. They couldn't see past the flesh. But there was an elected seed that had something in them that related not to Jesus' flesh. It had something more sure than that. Peter even acknowledged it. He said he saw the glorification of Jesus Christ. He said, but there's something more sure than that. The Word of God. And I don't think he meant just some textbook. He meant the Word that was in him could respond to the Word that was in Christ. There's others that have seen supernatural things and go right back in the world like nothing ever happened. Sure. That's not an anchor to no soul. The anchor to the soul is that you know you are a part of God.
Yeah. Amen.
Let me read that quote real quick. I'll try to end up here soon, Lord willing. Brother Bram doing an altar call. Hebrews chapter 6, the second time he preaches it. People are raising their hands. He's saying, God bless you, sir, there. God bless you, brother. Someone else, God bless you, sir. I've been in church for years. God bless you, sir. God bless you here, brother. God bless you back there, little lady. I will ask God to make me peaceful. Are you real raging? Are you all out of sorts? Do you doubt? Do you toss about? Do you wonder whether it's really right or not? When you come to Christ, do you come with a full assurance, a heart full of love? Do you walk up to Him without one fear, saying, I know He's my Father? That's where the rubber really meets the road. Can you look at Christ and know, that's my dad. That's my heavenly Father. Why would He destroy me if I'm His child?
Amen.
Oh my, will He spank you? Ooh, boy. I've got my full share of them. But aren't you glad He didn't just let you go on?
Amen.
In your own ignorance most of the time.
Amen.
And your own foolishness, but was willing to come around and beat it out of you. But I'm glad. That's really where it comes down to. It's a relationship between you and God. And that's it. Not me as a pastor in between. Not a church in between you. Not even, you can make the message a guard between you and God if you let Satan do it to you.
Sure.
That's not what God came to do. He came to show you, I am your Father. You are an heir of God. And a joint heir with Christ. Not by power, not by might, but because I chose you before the foundation of the world.
Amen, amen.
Brother, how do I know I'm chosen? Do you believe the Word?
Yes.
Cain was from the land of Nod, right? Do you believe the Word?
Yes.
Amen. All right. There we go. We all got it that time. I'm glad that God's promises He didn't just keep in His mind, but He told them to me. So I could hear it. I could receive it. And then watch it come to pass.
Amen. Amen.
Don't you wish you could just find time to write down every little thing that Jesus ever done for you?
Yeah.
Isn't what the Bible said true? If we wrote down everything, there wouldn't be enough volumes of books to write it all down. And I think that every little moment, even right now, you start getting a little disheartened, He'll come by and just let you feel good for no reason.
Yeah.
Just because He wants to.
Amen.
People are so worried about getting just needs from God. Look, my God loves me. And if I've got a holy need, and I ain't talking about just, I want a new Corvette, or I want a $50 million house, or something foolish like that. I'm just talking about a sincere desire from God. He cares.
Amen.
If I want something, I said, Lord, You give this to me, I will testify to the world that You gave it to me.
Amen.
Saying, well, it's just a candy bar. I don't care. It'll bring glory to God if you'll let God bring glory to it.
Amen.
How many wants to know that you know? That you know.
Yeah.
That you're there.
Yes.
Not that you're going to be there. I did not say that.
No.
Not that you're going to be raptured, but that you are already there.
Yes.
How many believes Malachi 4 to be a messenger of this age?
Yeah.
All right, here you go. Here's how you get assurance. I'll just read it to you. The token, 64. Watch how He did it now. He prepared first a sign, a messenger, identified message, identification of the messenger, and a token for the assurance that the way was paid. They are headed for the promised land. The same thing He has done today. What did He do? He sent us the Holy Ghost.
Mm-hmm.
The Holy Ghost is the messenger, and the scriptural identification of himself identifies him among us. The same yesterday, today, and forever. And the token is the assurance.
Amen.
That's it. Have you received the baptism of the Holy Ghost? That is God's assurance to you. Don't look for some other sign. That is what he gave you. It is good enough.
Amen.
It will lead you all the way there. It cannot fail.
That's right.
Don't let Satan get you on a rabbit trail trying to find something else. That is eternal life. God within you.
Amen.
That little insignificant thing that happened to you where all of a sudden your life changed, the way you thought changed, that was the most important thing that ever happened to you.
Amen.
Amen.
God was sealing you into his kingdom. He was letting you know, yes, when I said I loved you, love sins, I love the whole world, I was talking about you. When I said there's heirs of Abraham's promise, I was talking about you. Let me finish that quote real quick here. And the token is the assurance. What are we scared about? Our fare is already paid. We are identified with our sacrifice. He can't turn you down. Who am I? Now, if you're an old legalist, you got a condition to your covenant, you're going to say, he turns me down all the time. You're going to make God into a big old brute. You're going to make God into an Indian giver that gives you salvation one day and takes it away the next. And I'm glad to say I found where Brother Branham said the same thing. He actually does say that in this series. God is not an Indian giver.
Yep.
I'll fight for it. He says it.
Yep.
How many times I just love the way the Lord, even that, for instance. I've said that many times and going, you know, is that really the right way to say it? And then I come around here, the prophet said the same thing. I can't tell you how many times that's happened, church.
Yeah.
I can't tell you how many times I go to take a text.
Yeah.
And I study it out. And I come up with a way, and then I go back and look and say, Brother Abraham did it the same way.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And I think most time we get in the carnal realm and think, oh, he just preached it that way because that's the way Brother Abraham did. That ain't the way the Spirit of God works.
Uh-huh.
I ain't trying to imitate no man. Well, one man. And I'm not even trying. He's already given me the life. And as I yield to him, as I let the assurance take effect, that's really what it's all about. Not just having some thought about insurance, but when the assurance in your life begins to take effect, these signs will follow them that believe.
Amen.
Why do I like to see signs even in my life? I don't want to be a preacher that says, here's how you need to be doing this, but I'm not doing any of it. You know what they call that? That's Nicolaitanism.
Amen.
Because it can go both ways. Either the ministry wants to do it all, or he wants to push it on the congregation. Look, there ain't no ministry. There ain't no congregation separation here. It is one body.
Amen.
We all are made to have signs to follow our lives.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Not even for just God. God already knows those that are his. It's for you.
Right.
How many times you've been in the dumps, and God lets you pray for something, and it comes to pass, and all of a sudden, you don't even know where the dumps went no more.
Yeah.
You're up in cloud nine somewhere. You think that was God saying, oh, I'd really need to prove myself. I'll have to come do my word again. No, it's for your sake. That I'm tired of my child being downcast. I paid that they wouldn't have to be. Devil, get out of the way.
Amen.
Just closing. I was on YouTube the other day. Actually, it might have been yesterday. I just typed in the word Jesus, and I went down and I found an article about a man, he was a Satanist, and he said he met God. I was like, well, that's interesting. It was only about 11 minutes long, so I can last that long. If it's any longer than that, I'm about done. But this man, I'll tell you what, he really was in the spiritual realm. He did things that I believe are possible. He said he would lay in bed and get into the spirit of the devil. Now it's where he could have his spirit literally leave his body and go curse things. Now what he did say is he found a group of praying people, he couldn't do nothing there.
It's true.
Amen. And we're afraid of the devil. Here's a Satanist that knows we can't do anything for praying Christians.
Amen.
And remember, who's the only people that couldn't really identify who Jesus was? It wasn't the devils. They figured it out right away. It was the religious people. Those that had a conditional covenant. They're the ones that couldn't see God. And he got real deep into it until, you know, he, like the devil was, he'll lead you right to death every time. That's his goal, just to get you killed. Do it spiritually, and then he'll do it naturally. He ended up talking with some girl, I believe, and she convinced him to go to church. He went up to the altar, and they were having an altar call, and before he could even think about it, the demon in him made him grab that pastor and hold him up and start choking him. I can't even remember what he said. It's something about, I'm going to kill you tonight or something like that. And he said a couple, you know, guys tried to pull him off. He said, I just threw him over like rag dolls. He said, but then all of a sudden, 200 some people began to pray. And then I heard a man come over my shoulder and say, say Jesus is Lord. Say Jesus is Lord. And finally I got, because look, we can't put the devil and the person together. They're demon possessed.
Right. Right.
They're acting that way because there's a demon influence in them.
Uh-huh.
A man wants to do right. Hitler wanted to do right. He thought he was. But he was demon possessed to where his thinking was, it was mutilated. It wasn't right. And finally he said, Jesus is Lord. And there it went. He dropped him right there. And for a while, and he talks about receiving salvation and things, but shortly after that, he said at night, the demons would still come to his bed. He said they'd rattle it on him. They'd levitate it until he was right at the ceiling and all these things, and you know, it just tortured him almost. And I can't remember how long. He said it was like 2 or 3 weeks or something like that. He finally went to the Lord and said, Lord, why are you letting this happen? He said, I wanted to see how much you loved me. And he said, from that moment on, it never happened again. Don't get weary in the trial. Hold fast your confession. God lets you go through the ringer sometimes to prove that really what it is, he's proving that what he did in your life will hold.
Amen.
You understand that? That's what he wants to see. He wants to show the devil. Have you considered my servant Job?
Amen.
You think he's only serving me because I'm blessing? Look, I'll take away his blessings. He'll still serve me anyways because I've already sealed him into my kingdom by predestination.
Amen.
That's right.
Amen.
Hallelujah. How many times the Lord brags on you? That old devil comes by and tries to get you down, and you keep rising back up. Don't you think he gets frustrated after a while? Don't you think that old devil, Brother Bram said it too, he said a man can get so close to God that the devil just don't know what to do with him no more. My, I took this away. What do you think he felt about Job at the end of the road? Go, what else can I do to this guy? I'm pretty sure after that he said, fine, whatever, I'll go after someone else. And that's what's going to happen to this bride because she's going to be so much in victory. By the time the rapture gets here, he's going to say, get out.
Amen.
They prove that in Scripture. What happened in Egypt?
Yeah.
They endured plague after plague and dealing with them. But when it came to death, they said, get out. Take whatever you have. Aren't you glad that one day the devil will come to you and say, get out of this world.
Amen.
I want to rule here.
Yeah.
Go up to heaven.
Yep.
You say, sure, devil, I'll go. Go ahead and kick me out of this world. I don't love it anyway.
Amen.
Let's give God praise.
Hallelujah.
Jesus.
Praise.
Thank you, Lord.
Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Glory
Jesus.
To God.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah,
Jesus.
How many is grateful for an unconditional covenant? Now operate in that. Don't let the devil put something else in there. If you are saved by grace, all these promises are yours.
Yeah.
Every healing, every emotion, everything that God has ever paid for is your possession. Don't let the devil ever take it from you.
Amen.
That includes your children. That includes your livelihood. He says, I want you to prosper in health even as your soul prospers. He wants us to prosper in Him.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Let's bow our heads together. How many is grateful to the Lord tonight?
Amen.
Can we just pray to Him and just have a good time of thanksgiving? Not so much asking much. I just think those times where we should just thank Him for all the wonderful things He does for us.
Thank you.
Oh, let's just give Him thanksgiving tonight. Heavenly Father, thank You so much for loving us. Thank You for taking care of us, Lord. Thank You that every time we get down, You just come by and whisper those sweet, loving words into our ears again, that I have chosen You. I have elected You. I have loved You all the way to the end. I saw the cross and I took it because I wanted You. Oh, Lord Jesus, let us accept that unmerited favor. Let us walk in a realm of perfect faith by perfect grace. Lord, don't let us listen to that devil's lies. He tries to bring circumstances into Your promises and getting us to doubt the Word of God. Lord, let us be a people sure and steadfast. Lord, those that have entered into the veil, that we don't have to look at God's flesh. We know that God is the same because He said He was. We can see past the veil. Thank You, Lord, for saving us. Thank You for taking us from a life of sin. Thank You for healing us when we're sick. Thank You for providing for us when we're needy. I just pray if there's one thing in the people's heart, if there's one doubt in any person here, Lord, that, Lord, we would come back to Calvary, Lord, and let You take it far from us. We love You. We appreciate You, Lord, and we just want to worship You tonight.
Hallelujah.
Accept our worship, we pray. In Jesus Christ's name we ask. Amen. Amen. 246. God is so good. Kiev, 246. How many can agree tonight that God is just so good?
Yes.
Amen. 246 if you don't know it.
God is so good. God is so good. God is so good. He's so good.
Oh, sing that again now. Sing it to him now.
Oh, God is so good. God is so good. God is so good. He's so good to me.
Well, one more time, hands raised, giving thanks unto our God.
And God is so good. God is so good. God is so good. He's so good to me.
Can we sing, I love him so?
And I love him so. And I love him so. I love him so. I love him so. He's so good to
me. How many can say he answers prayer tonight? Hallelujah.
And he answers prayer.
Coming soon, hallelujah.
And he's coming soon. He's coming soon. He's coming soon. He's so good to me.
Let's give a hand clap of praise tonight. Says that the forerunner was entered in for us, which means that the way to glory was already run for us. Oh, we thought we'd had to tackle that whole army, but Jesus said, no, I'll make the way, and he destroyed the whole path. Yeah. And he said, just follow me. He's just a one-man path now. It's not very wide, it's not very big, but just follow it. It goes all the way back into the veil. Do you understand that God's veil is the same today? He's hidden behind flesh. Whose flesh? Yours. You're packing the Creator. And you let the devil push you around. Realize who you're packing. The one that created that old devil. The one that already put him under his foot. The one that went down on his turf. Said, give me the keys. Aren't you grateful for that?
Yes, yeah.
Hallelujah. I'm so glad I didn't have to make my own way, but he already did it for me. And then he came back and said, now, denominations let this go away, but I'm here to tell you, the veil's still here. God still dwells in flesh. The Son of Man revealed in the last days. Hallelujah. I just want to give God praise. Let's give him another hand clap of praise. How many know there's victory in the name of Jesus? Yeah. Let's sing that together. It's right there on that same page, 244. Yeah, you. 244.
It's in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. We have the victory. It's in the name of Jesus. In the
praise God.
Oh, when we come in the name of Jesus, tell me who can stand before. In the precious name of Jesus, we have the victory.
Hallelujah, Lord.
Well, it's in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, we have the victory. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, demons will have to flee. Oh, when we call on the name of Jesus, tell me who can stand before.
I thought I could go right into that one. I guess not.
Every promise in the book is mine. Every chapter, every verse, every line. I am trusting in His love behind. Every promise in the book is mine. Every promise in the book is mine. Every chapter, every verse, every line. I am trusting in His love divine. Every promise in the book.
Oh, it's Him and Him clap and praise. Or clap off for now. Clap off. Hallelujah, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise His name. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. One more time, with all our hearts now.
Oh, every promise in the book is mine. Every chapter, every verse, every line. I am trusting in His love divine. Every promise in the book is mine.
Oh, give Him praise and I give Him honor. Thank you, Jesus. Before we go, I started school today, and you know, we've had a few students come in here, come and go, about four, I can't remember exactly, but I've seen them all, and keep me in prayer. I get really burdened about it sometimes, and you know, you got that love for somebody that you know there's something in them, but for some reason they keep listening to that old devil and letting them go. Pray for me that we can penetrate. And I said we for a reason, because your prayers help penetrate the gospel into others. We're here to penetrate the kingdom of Satan and pull souls out of there and into the kingdom of God. So if you remember, just lift me in prayer. As I'm there, I'm there to be a witness and just have my first day of school. I got to get back to work, you know. I don't just mean teaching math either. I mean back to work for the kingdom of God. Thank you. Let's sing that song as we get ready to go tonight. I don't mean to prolong the time, but Psalm 240, this is the evening time. If you don't know it, you're dismissed tonight if you need to go.
And this is the evening time.